You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
And so I have the privilege this morning of sharing God's word with us. And so would you please pray with me as we hear from God's word today? Father, we thank you that we can call you our Father. We thank you for saving us into your family. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ that we get to worship together with today. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who you have united us together with in Christ by your Spirit. We pray for today, as we hear from your word, that you would open our hearts, that you would clear our minds of any distractions, and you would prepare us to hear from you and your word and the message that you have for us. Please humble us and help us to focus on you and your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. For those who may not know me, my name is Hunter Hankins. I have been filling in as our youth pastor in this interim period, and we're reminded this morning of our Lord's provision with Pastor Solomon and Kelsey here today. So we praise God for that. We're so joyful that they are here. And for those who may not know, Abigail, my wife, and I have two little girls at home. So that means I am desperately outnumbered and need your prayers. But if you've been around here for recently, right, somewhat consistently, I can probably guarantee that you have seen my little daughter, Eliana, running around the church. She's one of the couple little girls that'll run around the pews after service, and usually it's with me laboring after them out of breath and sweating because they're so fast, right? And that's definitely one of Eliana's favorite things to do in life, right, to run around here. And as parents, we love seeing her have fun. But it also makes us pretty nervous because Eliana is kind of in that stage of toddlerhood. She's almost 3 years old, but she's in that stage where she still needs help making it down the stairs. We can't fully trust her to be able to make it down the stairs without falling down. So whenever we see her go to some of the bigger stairs in our building, it can make us a bit anxious as parents, right? We can be a bit worried. Especially because lately Eliana started to do this thing. When she's coming down the flight of stairs, you know, I'll, if it's by the youth room, I'll come and I'll go to help her on the bottom of the stairs. And she'll turn, look me dead in the eyes, and just leap down the stairs so that I would catch her, right? And so that adds more anxiety to our lives as parents. But as any parent in here can testify, right, there are things with our children that we can be anxious about. Right, it can be silly things about whether or not she'll make it down a flight of stairs, or it can be more serious, like things with their health, things with their future. And with two little ones now, it seems like those worries only pile up more and more. Right, there are things we can worry about with our little two-month-old daughter, Mariah, too. Right, is she healthy? Is she safe? Is her older sister going to sit on her the second we leave the room, right? There's things that we can be anxious about. As anyone in here knows, our lives can be riddled with anxieties. Early on in our pregnancy with Mariah, we had something show up on one of her ultrasounds that was potentially concerning. And it went away, and Mariah was healthy and great, and she's healthy now. But at that moment, we were anxious. We faced anxiousness, we had worries in our lives, and as we all know, the concerns and the anxiousness of life can be heavy. They can weigh us down, they can overwhelm our thinking. We have questions about what we will do with our lives, what job we will have, where we will live, about our children, how we will provide, about our futures. I saw something last week about retirement and just how much anxiousness retirement can cause us in our lives. Will we have enough to live off of? How will we provide for ourselves? Where are we going to live? Will we have to work to a later age? In life, we face stresses and anxieties. And the question we have, as those who follow Jesus, is what do we do when we face anxieties? Today, we're going to be looking at a passage in Matthew 6, where Jesus addresses this very question. And what we're going to see, what Jesus is going to call us there, is to, when we face anxieties, place our heart's focus and faith on our loving Father who provides all we need. So you can turn your Bibles to Matthew 6 if you have not already. We're going to be starting in verse 19, but as we turn there, I want to remind us a little bit of the context of this passage, where we're at in the book of Matthew and in the life of Jesus, so we make sure we best understand what Jesus is teaching here. This passage is found in one of Jesus' most well-known teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, and this is early on in Jesus' ministry. We're told at the beginning of Jesus' ministry that from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and great crowds follow him from Galilee. And so in this setting, where Jesus began his ministry by preaching the gospel of his kingdom, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Jesus here turns to teach the people in the Sermon on the Mount what it means to be a part of that kingdom, what it means to live as his disciples. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus first describes to us the characteristics of his disciples, and then how his disciples truly fulfills the law and its purpose to love God and love others. And as we come to chapter 6, we see Jesus address our relationship to our Father in heaven. Jesus first talks about and questions what the true motivation of our heart is. And then in our passage, he turns to address the focus of our hearts, the focus of our lives. And here he's going to directly address that anxiousness that can so often plague our hearts. Jesus is going to call us here when we consider our lives, when we face anxieties. Jesus is going to call us to not focus on our own kingdoms here on earth, depending on ourselves. Jesus is going to call us to instead seek his kingdom first, placing our heart's focus and faith on our loving Father who provides all we need. And here's how Jesus begins in verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Here Jesus begins this passage by calling us to not lay up treasures on earth. He gives us this picture of treasure, something valuable, this picture of someone spending all of their time focusing their entire life on gathering and accumulating more and more treasure. And when Jesus gives us this picture of laying up treasures, he's using that picture to talk about the things in life that we value, the things that we live for, the things that we focus on in our lives. When Jesus talks about treasures on earth, he's referring to the things of this world that we could value and pursue in this life. The possessions, the accomplishments, the relationships that we could seek to accumulate in our lives. And Jesus is saying, do not live your life seeking to accumulate all these things and placing your value and security in them. Don't live your life focused on building up your own kingdom here on earth where things don't last, where they're temporary. Instead, Jesus says in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Instead of living for the things of this world, Jesus calls us to lay up treasures in heaven, to live our lives not valuing and living for the things of this world, but valuing and living for the things of heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, where treasures are eternal. We are to live our lives with our hearts focused on God's kingdom, because Jesus says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What we spend our time on, what we live for, what we value most is where our hearts will be. It will be what we are devoted to, what our hearts and our lives are focused on. And here to understand the connection this passage has to what Jesus says about being anxious in the next section, we need to ask ourselves a question. Why would we be tempted to lay up treasures on earth? And I think initially, when we in our kind of modern life here and now think about laying up treasures on earth, I think we can initially tend to think that it's because of greed. And I think that's a part of it. But I think there's a more central reason that Jesus is getting at. That it's not so much greed, but more because there are things in this life that we need. We have needs, and we as people love to feel secure. And really, we love to be in control. And this often comes from an anxiousness and a worry about our lives. Why might we seek to lay up treasures on earth? Because there's things we need. We worry about them, and our anxiousness leads us to depend on ourselves and the things of this world to provide. The problem with living for treasures on earth is that it's really out of a desire to live dependent upon ourselves. It comes from a desire to control, but what Jesus recognizes is that this desire ends up controlling our hearts. What Jesus is telling us is that living for the things of this world takes our heart's focus off of God, and it leads us to depend on ourselves and live for the things of this world instead of on our loving Father. And what Jesus will show us is that taking our heart's focus off of God is only a recipe for disaster and anxiety. Jesus gives us a parable to illustrate just how destructive this is. He says in verse 22, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Here Jesus gives us an analogy of an eye. And he says, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. He's saying if your eye is functioning properly, if your eye is looking at and focused on the right thing, then your body, your life will be full of light. You'll be able to see. But Jesus says if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If your eye is not functioning properly, if your eye is looking at and focused on the wrong things, then your body, your life will be full of darkness. You won't be able to see. You won't be able to live as you are intended to, as lights for God's kingdom. What Jesus is saying is that if you're living for the treasures of earth, you are like the bad eye. The focus of your heart has been taken off of our God who is light and has been placed on the things of this world. And you will then be in darkness, not knowing the right way to go. What can produce more anxiousness inside of us than being in darkness, than not being able to see and know where to go in a given moment in life? When I was thinking about this, I thought about an example where, have you guys ever been in Lake Michigan or an ocean on a very wavy day before? I remember one time when I was in like high school or college, I was in the ocean on one of those days and, you know, in the waves, riding them into the shore. And at one point, I wasn't paying complete attention. And of course, that's the one time that extra big wave came behind me and it just knocked me over, right? And it was big enough that I fell into the water and I kind of rolled with the wave. And the problem was that I got salt water in my eyes and so I couldn't see. So as I'm trying to get my balance, the next wave comes and it knocks me over again. And I fall into the water. I get salt water in my eyes. I can't see. I can't get my orientation. And then the next wave comes and I survived. But in case you're wondering, but in a moment like that, because I couldn't see, I was filled with stress and anxiety, right? If you were on a hike on the side of a mountain, say on somewhat of a dangerous trail, right? And halfway through that hike, you lost your vision, what would you feel? You'd be really anxious, right? Because you can't see, you're in darkness. You don't know where to go, and you won't know how to keep on the path that you're supposed to stay on. If we live our lives focused on the things of this world, our hearts focused, we moved off of God, and we will be in darkness. We won't know which way to go, which path to follow. We won't know how to see and how to respond to the waves of life as they roll in on us. The thing we did, seeking the things of this world to try and relieve the anxieties of our life and our own power, only ended up adding more anxiety to our lives. But Jesus says, if we lay up treasures in heaven, if we keep our heart focused on our God who is light, then we will be able to see. We will know how to live. We won't be stressed in darkness. We will have a proper perspective for our lives. And the truth is, as Jesus tells us, is that we can't have it both ways. He says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We can't be focused on two things at the same time. We can't be fully devoted to God and his kingdom and also to our own. We can't serve God and money, God and possessions, God and the treasures of this world. Pursuing both, something that we can't do, will only lead us to more anxiety in life, and the things of this world will end up becoming our masters. And so if we as Jesus' disciples are to live for the things of heaven, if we're to keep our heart focused on God and his kingdom and serve God alone, then what about our lives? What about the things we are anxious over, the things we need? And this is the very question that Jesus directly addresses next when he says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Since living for the things of this world takes our heart's focus off of God, Jesus concludes, therefore, do not be anxious about your life. To us at that point, it might seem like being anxious would be our only option. But what Jesus is recognizing, what he shows us here, is that laying up treasures on earth and being anxious both have the same problem, and what he's going to show us is that they both have the same solution. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Here Jesus calls us to not be anxious about our lives. When Jesus talks about not being anxious here, he isn't calling us to never feel any stress or anxiety in life. He's saying, do not be anxious. Being anxious is about how we respond when we face anxieties in our lives. Being anxious is when we face anxieties, and instead of turning to God and casting our anxieties on him, we hold on to them. We turn to ourselves and allow them to impact the way that we live. And so why are we to not be anxious? Well, Jesus says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Jesus says that life is more than these concerns. Anxiousness can dominate our thinking. It can seem as if everything depends on us resolving these anxieties on our own, and these anxieties can begin to control us. They take our focus off of God, and they can become masters of our hearts, which is why Jesus is going to call us to look to our loving Father and the way he provides. He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus points us to things that are of much less value than us. The birds who don't sow, the birds who don't lay up treasures on earth, and he says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. What Jesus is saying is that our heavenly Father provides for things of much less value than us, so we can be sure that he would do the same for his children. And he says in verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus says, what can being anxious even do? We cannot add a single hour to our life. Jesus is reminding us that we don't have the ultimate power over our lives. We really aren't in control anyways. He says that God clothes the grass with more care than the richest of kings could possibly ever clothe himself. And Jesus is saying, well, and to therefore not be anxious, because both of them lead us to take our hearts focus off of God. And at the end of verse 30, Jesus recognizes a second thing that being anxious does. There Jesus says, O you of little faith. What Jesus is recognizing here is that being anxious about our lives takes our hearts' faith off of God. It leads us to trust in ourselves and to look to ourselves and not to our loving Father. And here we need to make sure we rightly understand what Jesus is saying when he says, O you of little faith. When Jesus says we have little faith, he's not saying that we just need to have more faith in ourselves. You might hear people who mean well approach someone dealing with worry, and we might hear them say, well, you just need to have more faith. But that's not what Jesus is saying. That's not the gospel. When Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, he's recognizing that when we are being anxious and allowing these feelings to remain and not turning to God in dependence, that we're forgetting the gospel. That we're forgetting that God's love and favor is not dependent upon us, that it's dependent upon Christ. We're forgetting that we have a loving Father who is faithful and that we can trust in our loving Father's provision. Being anxious is lacking faith, not because we ourselves are lacking in some self-produced faith, but because we have lost focus on the object and the supplier of our faith. As Pastor Leonard talked about a few weeks ago in our Mark series, it's not about how much faith you have or even the strength of your faith. It's about the object of our faith. By being anxious, we remove Jesus and make ourselves the object of our faith. And this is why Jesus says in verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not be anxious. Because God knows what we need. He is our loving Father, and he will provide us all we need. Being anxious takes our focus off of the only place that our true needs can be met. The solution to not being anxious then, and to not laying up treasures on earth, is to seek first God's kingdom. It's to focus on God and his kingdom and make his kingdom the priority in our lives. And we do so in faith, knowing and trusting that he is our loving Father who knows what we need and will provide all we need. What Jesus is calling us to is to, when we face anxieties, place our hearts' focus and faith on our loving Father who provides all we need. Anxiousness can only be cured by the assurance that all of our needs will be met by our loving Father. And this requires faith, because faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, right? The conviction of things not seen, as we read in the book of Hebrews. But remember, that shouldn't lead us to look to ourselves, as we just talked about. It should lead us to look to our Father and his kingdom. It should lead us to fix our faith on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It should lead us to look to the Spirit, the one who gives and strengthens our faiths, not ourselves. It should not lead us to depend on our own ability to meet our needs, or even our own ability to prevent ourselves from feeling anxiety. Both of those are depending upon yourself. It should lead us to depend and trust in God alone, to place our heart's focus and faith on our loving Father. For those here who may be burdened with anxieties, I want to ask you, do you know our loving Father? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? If you do not know Christ, and you're burdened trying to carry the weight of your anxieties, let me briefly share with you the words of Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 28, here's what Jesus says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When Jesus says these words, he's not saying that following him will lead to an easy and a comfortable life. What Jesus is saying is that when you come to him, you are freed from your self-reliance, your works of self-righteousness, and he carries the burden. We're not saved by how righteous, how good, how able we are. We're not saved by our works and how much we accomplish. We're saved by Jesus. We're saved by his grace and through faith. For those who are burdened by self-reliance, I would call you, come to Jesus. Place your faith in him, be saved of your self-reliance, and live your life for Jesus. For those who are his disciples, what does it mean to seek his kingdom first? It means to have our loving Father and his kingdom as the focus of our lives. And by doing so, we're freed from the anxiousness that can so often burden our hearts. But how does it do that? Well, let's consider our lives. We talked about retirement earlier. When we consider retirement, something that we're all going to have to think about in life, what is our focus on? We have all these needs, and we have desires for how our life should be at that age. We have concerns about whether we will have enough or if we will still need to work. If our focus is on the things of the earth and the life that we would desire to have, we will be burdened with anxiety, never knowing if we have enough. But if our focus is on God's kingdom and how we can live for him, we will have a different perspective. Instead of being concerned with whether we will have enough for the life we desire, we'll be focused on the life that God will desire for us to have. We won't be anxious because our focus will be on our loving Father who provides. If God desires for us to retire at a certain age so we can live for his kingdom in a certain way, that he certainly will provide that. But he may also desire for us to continue to work so that we can be a light at that job, in that company, or at that school. If God's kingdom is our focus, what would we be anxious about? When we consider our lives as parents, how we will provide our children's futures, what is our focus on? Is it God's kingdom, or is it the treasures of the earth? Where are we resting our faith and our security? When we consider where we will live and raise our kids, we can have lots of anxieties there, but what are we focused on? Is it on a good, safe neighborhood with a great school district and a house that will be good for our family, which are all good things that our loving Father knows what we need? But focusing on those things will only lead to anxieties. But if our focus was instead on where God would desire for us to live, to be lights for his kingdom, we would be sure that our loving Father would provide that and then provide everything else we need. When we consider our children's future, what are we focused on? Is it on the things of this world? That they get good grades so they can get into a good college, so that they could get a good career, and so that their needs will be met? Those are good things that our Father knows we need. But if our focus is on those things, we will only be anxious. But if our focus is on God's kingdom instead, our main concern will be to see our children become mature disciples who place their hearts focus on faith on our loving Father who provides all that they need. And what then will we need to be anxious about if they have a loving Father in heaven who will provide all that they need? When we face anxieties, we place our heart's focus and faith on our loving Father who provides all we need. And I want to conclude today by briefly looking at a few passages that help us to do this. In 1 Peter 5, the Apostle Peter has this to say to us. In verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." We take our anxieties and we give them and place them on our loving Father to bear. Placing our heart's faith and focus on God involves humility and it involves surrender. Yet we can do so because we know our God cares for us. And in Philippians 4, here's what the Apostle Paul has to say. Beginning in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we face anxieties, our Father is not ashamed of us, but desires for us to come to him in faith. We turn to God in prayer, trusting that he is our loving Father who provides all we need, and we experience his peace that surpasses understanding. Seeking God's kingdom first in our minds is not going to make sense, but we receive a peace that surpasses our understanding. And so when we face anxieties, place our heart's focus and faith on our loving Father who provides all we need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that you are our loving Father, that you've saved us as your children, as heirs with Christ. We thank you that you are our loving Father who always provides. I pray for our hearts as we consider our lives today, tomorrow, in the weeks ahead, and we face worries and anxieties, I pray that you would help us to place our heart's focus and faith on you because you provide. Please help us to not turn to ourselves in self-dependence. Please help us to turn to you humbly and surrender in faith, trusting that you provide. Help us to make your kingdom first in our lives, the focus and the priority of every aspect of our life so that we would have a kingdom perspective, that we would seek the treasures of heaven, and that we can trust that you will provide for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.